Just a privilege to come again on Christmas Eve and be able to share the Word of God and encourage our hearts in grace tonight. The message of my talk tonight is Grace Takes the Initiative. Grace Takes the Initiative. And I have one verse of Scripture. Of course, you have a good number of notes in your bulletin, but they're for yours for the taking. But there's one verse that I want to focus in on tonight and give you a little bit of the historical context of it. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And I think most of us know it by heart. So let me read a phrase and would you repeat it? And then we'll pray and then we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. And so Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born. For to us. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We just sense your presence in our midst, and it just satisfies us like nothing else does, Lord, that when you come close and you intervene in our lives by your presence and by your grace, it just overcomes all of our defenses. And so we pray that you would continue to do that tonight. And we would leave here having savored a moment with you. Having enjoyed your presence, may our joy increase, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Grace takes the initiative. Grace we could define as something that none of us really deserve. None of us deserve the grace of God. It's his unmerited favor. It's his blessings that come upon us. And not only do we have a God that's full of grace, but we have a God who has initiated that, who has taken the initiative to introduce us to that grace. When we look at this text, it's a fairly well-known text, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child, unto us a son is given. It is all about God initiating grace towards us. If we could take a look at the historical context for a minute, we would know that we would start out in Isaiah chapter 6. And in Isaiah chapter 6, say verses 1 through 7, Isaiah has this amazing encounter with God that God initiates. Isaiah is a prophet. He's not very well known. And God does something amazing in Isaiah's life. Here's the narrative. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered with his face, and with two he covered with his feet, and with two he flew around. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be completely undone if that happened to me. Like if you go home tonight and all of a sudden the heavens open and God is on his throne. And Isaiah had the most appropriate response to God's intervention in his life, God intervening in his life. He said, woe. He goes, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God's response was an amazing response. God said this to Isaiah. He says, behold, I have touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. And that's what God's intervention does in our life. It changes our soul. It changes our very makeup. It turns our hearts that may have been cold towards the things of the Lord. And all of a sudden, when we are in his presence, we find ourselves totally undone. When we move to Isaiah chapter 7, It's a story about a king who encounters God initiating grace in his life. Isaiah chapter 7 is about a wicked person. His name is Ahaz. Ahaz worshipped the false gods of his day. Matter of fact, he took his sons and offered them up as a burnt offering to pagan gods. And Ahaz was a very wicked man, yet God wanted to intervene in his life. And so God sent the prophet Isaiah to him, and he said to Ahaz, look, don't be afraid. I know you're afraid because of the geopolitical things that were going on in his day, that the northern tribes, Israel and Syria, were forming a coalition to come and conquer Judah. And sends the prophet to him and says, don't be afraid. They're just like burnt stumps. I'm going to take care of them. And Ahaz, he got very religious. He said, no, that's too much to ask God for. I wouldn't want to test God. And his heart was so far from God, the prophet goes to him, look, you can ask God for anything. If you want to win the lotto, just ask God for the numbers and he'll give them to you. Say, where's that in the Bible? Well, it's right in there in the Hebrew. But the prophet really did say that to him. He said, ask for anything. And Ahaz was a very religious man. And he says, no, I'm not going to ask for anything. And so the prophet says, well, here's the sign. The virgin will be with child. And his name will be called Emmanuel. 700 years before Christ came. Then finally in the narrative, we come to chapter 8 before our great verse. And you see the judgment that the Lord's coming upon the people. And you got people that have responded to the Lord and people that haven't, but they're all going into captivity. And the prophet comforts the people. And he says that, you know, I know gloom and I know hardship's going to come. It's the end of chapter 8, he says in verse 22, the end of chapter 8. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish. It's quite a phrase, the gloom of anguish. And they will be thrust into thick darkness. And then grace comes. The chapter that we looked at, chapter 9, verse 6. Then grace comes and intervenes in their life. See, the prophet was open to the grace of God and he responds. Ahaz wasn't. Can you think in your life when grace intervened in your life? Can you think back over your life, whether you're 15 or 16 or whether you're 60 or 70? Can you think about what did it look like when grace intervened in your life? I mean, that might be a topic. Alex, where's Alex? Alex, you could use that tonight. You know, you could tell to your kids are going to, you know, throw snowballs at me, but you could say, hey, here's the question for the dinner table. When did grace intervene in your life? What does that look like? I'll tell you what it looked like for me. I was a Cub Scout, and I was going to an ecumenical service at Stoneham Baptist Church. Now, for me going into a Baptist church, that was quite a miracle in and of itself. But I remember being a Cub Scout, and I remember a candlelit service there. And I remember the candles being lit coming along, and I lit my candle, and we were singing some song. I'll just have to pick one out. What's a good 60s song? Well, we'll just go with Kumbaya. So we were singing Kumbaya. And as a little boy, I knew that God was there. And I had never been told about that. I knew as a little boy that God was there. Give you another example. When does God intervene? When does grace take the initiative? I was going through my confirmation class, and it was March, I think it was 1968, and we had a really big snowstorm that year, and there was this huge pile of snow that they had used front-end loaders to build, and it was probably about 15, 16 feet high, this big, huge pile of snow, and I'd get up the top, and I'd roll down, and I'd scream, ah! And my mother would open up the window, get up, and I'd get up, go, ha, 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 and go up there. Did that 3 or 4 times, except on like time 4, I fell down the hill and I broke my leg, and my mother wouldn't come to the window anymore. And so my sister and brother, oh, he's really hurt. And she said a few colorful words along with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And it was right before my confirmation. And so I was put off to the side. I was in crutches. And so anyway, the nuns didn't want to mess up the line because their lines were perfect, and I was in crutches, and that wasn't going to work, so I was off to the side. And so one of the nuns came up and grabbed me by the ear and says, "Your turn." And so I go up, and the bishop lays hands on me, and something happened. Something happened. The bishop went like this, "Ooh, what's that?" And I went, "Ooh, God." As a little boy. I remember being an older guy. I was 18 years old. I was in East Boston. I was being inducted into the Air Force, and there's this little, you know, as a townie, you know, there's these drawers around, so we're rifling through the drawers, you know. And there was this one drawer that I opened, this desk drawer. It was full of Bibles, little green Gideon Bibles. And I opened up this Bible. I had never had a Bible in my life. I opened up this Bible, and on the back cover there was this prayer, you know, "Ask Jesus Christ into your life." And I said, you know, I just might need that. I might need this prayer. So I prayed the prayer, January 22nd, 1985. You say, how do you remember that? Because I wrote it in that little green Bible, which I still have, which is in my office. And my first grandchild, guess what day he was born on? January 22nd was the year. Yes, 4 years ago. What does grace look like? I remember being a few years older than I am, being on a mountain in Turkey and homesick. And I remember getting a nativity scene like that, except it was made out of cutout cardboard. And I remember setting it up on Christmas Eve in 1976 on top of a mountain in Turkey, saying, "God, are you real?" What does it look like when grace takes the initiative in your life? God is always taking the initiative. He is always looking for you. He is always knocking at your heart. And the only question is, do you see it? And I want to encourage you sometime this season to do a little reflection and say, "Lord, where have you been knocking on my heart? I might not have seen it." Back to our text here in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. There will be no gloom because a king was coming. And his name was Jesus." And we can turn in our Bibles, if you have them, or your little electronic device there, if you're Steve Skinner. And you can look at, with me tonight, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled." This is like, you know, 700 years ago. It says, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region, in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And this is what he did, verse 23. "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them all, and great crowds followed him." The title of the message tonight is "Grace Takes the Initiative." And when we look at the prophet Isaiah, God took the initiative. When we look at Isaiah or Ahaz, God took the initiative in his life. And he does that in all of our lives. He knocks on the door of our heart. Sometimes you're a Cub Scout and you're holding a candle. Sometimes you're a young person going through a confirmation class and God says, would you really follow me? Sometimes you're a young man scooping up a Gideon's Bible. Sometimes you're a soldier. And in the midst of homesickness and loneliness and gloom, God speaks. Sometimes you're a middle-aged woman wondering if there's anything else in life besides children. Sometimes you're an elderly person. Will there be anybody to love me? I'm so in need of help. And in the midst of that gloom, a light comes, and that light is the gospel. And that light heals, sets free. That light gives hope. And that light gives purpose in life. And so tonight, would you say it one more time with me? For unto us, child is born. Unto us, son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that's who he wants to be in your heart tonight. All of those attributes. And grace is seeking you out. It's seeking to find a home in your heart. And the only question is, will you open your heart to a good and loving Father who calls himself a Wonderful Counselor? He's got the best plans for your life. He's a mighty God. He can deal with any difficulty or problem that you find in life. He's our everlasting Father. He holds eternity in his hand, and yet he's our Abba. And he is, what is the last one? He is our Prince of Peace. And so from my heart to your heart tonight, I wish you a very Merry Christmas. And may you have eyes to see. May you have a heart to let in our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, who we celebrate today. And so, Merry Christmas. Amen. Would you stand, please? And I'm going to ask our worship people to come. Or, and then ask our ushers to come forward. Get a light.